Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Thank you guys all for tuning in. I hope you had a blessed week. Thank you guys for tuning in yesterday on our American Christian Network affiliates on the AM and FM dial, and all of you that outside the wire listening to the live streaming. And speaking of live streaming, here we are. It's streaming. Everything's looking good. We've been streaming off and on for the last couple of days because we've got this new VoiceStream HD Pro that's allowed us to overcome that. So thank you guys all for your patience. The logistics of trying to work through that with the computer that was all configured for our live streaming was taken away from the Redoubt Ranch, and it's not returning. So I had to, with the help of some partisans, one in particular, we had to overcome that problem. And so we're doing that now. So thank you guys for your patience in all of that. So we are doing, it sounds pretty good, huh? It's not skipping. It's only skipped a couple times. And by the way, as a reminder, if you guys run into that, just pause the player and let that stream kind of catch up, that buffer, and then you shouldn't have any problems after that. So far, everything's holding up really well. It's doing good. So I'm excited. I hope you guys are too. And what's nice about this unit, it's portable. I can take it. We can go to the field now and broadcast or stream live from wherever we are. If we got an internet connection, we can stream live. So we're looking forward to that, covering some of the events coming up in the next year. So that's really good. Hey, thank you guys so much for taking that Amazon affiliate banner link and using that for your shopping. That affiliate link helps support Radio Free Redoubt, which every little bit helps, and we're so grateful. And passing that along to your friends and letting them know, hey, use this link when you're, you know, support a cause, support a good cause, some patriots that are really in the fight, trying to work hard to help create awareness and really fight for our heritage. And that's what we do. It's one of the many things that we do. So we've got a few things we're going to cover here tonight. It won't be a really long podcast, which that's okay. But I want to get into the news and commentary brought to you by the author Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the partial collapse and the rebuilding. That's the part that we're excited about. Rebuilding, the opportunity to rebuild something out of the ashes. Go to 299days.com to learn more about that. So we've got Erdogan over in Turkey calling Israel a terrorist state. Remember, Turkey is a so-called NATO country. So the Turkish president brands Israel a terrorist state and a killer of children as he vows to do everything possible to reverse Donald Trump's Jerusalem decision, which we hailed Donald Trump for, President Trump. What they call him? Donald Trump's Jerusalem decision. That's President Trump to you. Who wrote this article anyway? I got to find, let me try to see if I can find this. Pull up that link. Who is this from? Got to be some British. Just same thing. Yahoo News. So, they won't call him President Trump. They want to call him Donald Trump. Well, he rightfully declared Jerusalem as the, well, not the capital, but he's treating it like the capital. It essentially is the capital for all other practical purposes and governmental functions. But the United States Embassy is moving now to Jerusalem. That will come with some ramifications, which we need to prepare for, especially as Americans. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. But this type of language here from the president of Turkey is going to only serve to exacerbate problems. It's only going to agitate the devout Muslims out there that want to destroy Israel, to destroy the United States, and destroy everything that it doesn't fall into compliance into the slave cult of Islam. So, yeah, after President Trump recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, he vowed to persuade the United States president to reverse his decision. And he's also threatened to cut all ties with the Jewish state, which I'm surprised they even have any ties with them anyway. And let's jump over to the other side of the world. North Korea. It's not enough that they have nuclear weapon capabilities with strike capabilities. Really love to be a mouse in the corner to find out what they're doing. The options that are being discussed and the things that are in motion there. But I know this administration isn't just sitting with their, just sitting on their hands over this. But North Korea now seems to be just a little more ambitious than we maybe even thought before. In this article, microbes by the ton. Officials see weapons, and this is from the Washington Post. Officials see weapons threat as North Korea gains biotechnology expertise. So now there's something else we got to worry about. 5 months before North Korea's first nuclear test in 2006, U.S. intelligence officials sent a report to Congress warning that secret work also was underway on a biological weapon. The communist regime, which had long ago acquired pathogens that caused smallpox and anthrax, had assembled teams of scientists but seemed to be lacking in certain technical skills. Well, now a decade later, the technical hurdles appear to be falling away. North Korea is moving steadily to acquire the essential machinery that could potentially be used for an advanced bioweapons program from factories that can produce microbes by the ton. Kim Jong-un, his government's also dispatching scientists abroad to seek advanced degrees in microbiology while offering to sell biotechnology services to the developing world. Great. That would make a really great show topic, discussing bioweapons and measures that you can take, practical measures, not to live in fear, not to act like the sky's falling, but really to take practical measures to protect yourself and your family should those ambitions become a reality. And something else that's a reality for folks in California, they're dealing with their own type of disaster right now with the fires now threatening Santa Barbara. They're calling for new evacuations. Unbelievable with all the rain that they've had and the winter non-fire season, and this thing is just absolutely consuming thousands of acres. What'd they say, 160,000 acres? A lot, 165,000 acres burned, more than 500 homes destroyed or damaged, with only 5% containment. There's a really good article. It doesn't read like news, but it's over at Drudge Report, and this is from readingeagle.com. I like the way this writer writes. He writes it like an adventure novel. I mean, it's news, but it's suspenseful. I don't know. I like the creativity of the way he wrote this, but just this little section here, one part jumped out at me, but it says, last week, the escalation of the fire was especially fast. In the flood of media reports, firefighting became a spectator sport driven by statistics. More than 165,000 acres burned, more than 500 homes destroyed or damaged, 5% containment. Small talk was quickly informed by the language of the fight. Cat's eyes for the embers that glow at night. Skunk for the fire's sneaky incursions beyond the front line. And soon the region was collateral damage. Schools closed, freeways shut down, air unbreathable. We took stock going through that terrible drill. 10 minutes to evacuate. What would you take? Just hold off on that one. I'm going to come back to it. For those who fled the fires, it was a violin, a photo album, a neighbor's collection of running medals. It's only stuff, but it's stuff that makes them who they are, not all that different from us. One man had just returned home in the hills above Ventura to watch the final licks of fire consume a cherished piano. A couple loaded trailers with wild-eyed horses outside of Ojai as the smoke of the approaching blaze blotted out the sun. I like that kind of writing. That's journalism. That's how news reports should be, in my opinion. But let's go back to this. You've got 10 minutes to evacuate. What would you take? Now, this is a really good opportunity for you to sit back and just pose that question to yourself. We've done this before and we've covered the wildfires and evacuations, but it's good to revisit this. You've got 10 minutes. What would you take? Well, for me, it'd be whatever guns I could grab, but those are replaceable. But the laptop, oh my goodness, like 3 laptops. There is so much information, and it's backed up, not on the cloud, but everything's there right at your fingertips. Your whole life, your photos, your emails, all of your contacts, your work, all of it right there, right? Plus all the stuff you hadn't backed up yet. That's at the top of the list for me. The laptop, hands down. Of course, after life, then property. So anyway, let's take a break. Let's come back. And kids, the Santa contest rules are up at RadioFreeRedoubt.com and Amron.com. We're going to talk about that when we come back. So stay right there.
Dares to be different.
I love the liberty found in the spirit of America, and that's why I love America. But what do I have left when the liberty vanishes from America? It is just soil, like the soil that can be found anywhere else on earth. Benjamin Franklin said, "Where liberty is, there is my country." And 2 Corinthians 3:17 states, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Well, that's interesting. Now, put the two together. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And where liberty is, there is my country. Did you really think removing God from this nation would come without a price? I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Communist propaganda, which left unchallenged, could speed up their goal of world domination. We are in the midst of a continuing struggle for the minds of men.
We're back with segment 2 at Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of resistance, resistance against everything that sets itself against American heritage and our Christian conservative values and ideals, which are under attack. And we need to learn how to fight against that. Communist revolutionaries are moving and they are picking up momentum. They are gearing up for a fight in the future. It requires some skills. And why not start at a young age? Kids, Santa Claus is coming to town. Oh, before I cover the giveaway for the 200-shot range model air rifle, carbine action, 200-shot range model air rifle with a compass in the stock, and this thing which tells time, serial number 100 out of only 2,500 produced, being produced, actually. We've got number 100. It's going to go to one of you kids out there in the listening audience with the one-time pad exercise coming up. But first, let me talk about listening to Santa Claus. There's several different ways that you can do this. We talked about it last week. The 3916 net, the friendliest nets in all of ham radio, 3916. That's taking place every night at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. So make proper adjustments for that. But you can talk to Santa Claus on 3916 on HF. You can go to the Tailgaters Net. And we've also got a posting talking to Santa Claus. And here's just one example of what that might sound like for you kids. Other kids are doing it every night, talking to Santa Claus or Mrs. Claus sometimes. And this is what it sounds like.
The children that check in tonight.
Come here, Santa.
Isn't that cool? I just think that's just the coolest stuff. What a great way to get the next generation interested in emergency radio communications and ham radio just as a hobby. It's a lot of fun. Also, coming up on the 23rd and the 24th, so Christmas Eve and the Eve of the Eve, from 1400 hours to 2000 hours Eastern time is 14300, the Santa Claus net. That's 14.300 megahertz. And also, I don't know if you know it or not, but they also have an Echolink node at 1800 hours. That's 6 p.m. 1800 hours Eastern time, the Echolink conference server node. 355-800, 355-800, and that's also listed there over at that posting to talk to Santa Claus. So, all right, young partisans, parents and grandparents of future partisans, listen up. The instructions have been posted at Amron.com and RadioFreeRedoubt.com. You are going to need to decrypt a secret message that will be read next week. It would be read on the air right here, RadioFreeRedoubt.com, on the show Sunday night, live streaming, and also, of course, the podcast, which will be uploaded. You will have 48 hours to decrypt the message. The numbers that will be read are an encrypted message. Now, how do you encrypt them? Hopefully, you've been practicing with the Young Partisans one-time pad practice exercise that's also posted. And develop those skills. So next week, when you hear the numbers read, you'll know it. It will be unmistakable. Write those numbers down carefully. And you're going to decrypt those. How do you decrypt those? Well, you're going to have to go over to the new posting that was just put up tonight. And this, I'll read it to you right now. Tune in to the John Jacob Schmidt Show on December 17th. Next Sunday at 2000 hours Pacific. To hear the broadcast, Little Whore Orphan Annie, and Annie will read out a list. Hopefully we'll be able to get Annie in here to read that so I don't have to. You guys don't want to listen to me. You want to listen to Annie, right? So Little Orphan Annie will read out a list of numbers you must copy down exactly. And if you miss the live broadcast, you can get the numbers from the podcast the next day or late that night. But you must decode the message using the one-time pad called Nativity. There is a bunch of numbers on a one-time pad, and it's titled Nativity. How do you get that? You need to get that by going to the contest rules instructions posting from tonight, and you'll see all the instructions that I'm reading to you right now. At the very bottom, there's a picture of a nativity scene. That is how you get to the secret one-time pad that you're going to have to use to decrypt next week's message. Click on the picture of the nativity scene, and that will reveal to you the one-time pad. And you keep that handy. So the decoded message is the address of a secret location. When you decrypt that, you'll be looking at an address. Enter that address into the search box of Google Earth or Google Maps. Some mapping program on the internet and take a careful look around to see what's at that location for you to report back to headquarters. And how do you do that? Well, you contact me, John Jacob Schmidt. My name's your name too. John Jacob Schmidt. You're going to contact me by emailing me at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. And in the subject line, type Red Rider. And in the email, report what you found at that location and be sure to include your code name in the email. If you don't have a code name or you're not sure, then you can make one up. That's okay. Just so we don't want to use your real name over the air. We want to use your code name. So be creative. See what you can come up with. That's always fun too. All correct answers will be entered into a drawing when you email me for a special edition Red Ryder BB gun and other prizes that will be announced next week. All entries must be received by midnight on the 19th of December, Pacific time. So, and you know, if you make a mistake on translating Pacific, Mountain, Central, Eastern time, we'll give you a little bit of a leeway there, but you got to get those in by midnight. Try to get those in by midnight on the 19th of December. The winner will be notified by email, and we'll put that up in the posting too with your code name listed as the grand prize winner, and the other prize winners will also be listed there. So you need the Nativity one-time pad. How do you get that? Do you remember? You got to go to the posting for the one-time pad instructions posting on Amron.com and RadioFreeRedoubt.com and find the picture of a nativity scene. You click on that picture and that will reveal the nativity one-time pad. Save that. You'll need it for decrypting next week's message. All right, I think we got it. And there's plenty of information there. Just type in one-time pads on either Amron.com or RadioFreeRedoubt.com to take you to pages that will give you lots of practice opportunities and all the resources that you need to master the skill of using one-time pads. Unbreakable encryption. And it's a lot of fun. And there's a lot of history behind it. So the 35-year anniversary edition of the 200-shot Red Ryder range model air rifle with the compass in the stock could be yours. All right, when we come back, there's more. We're looking forward to this. Segment 3 coming up. We're going to talk about the state of liberty. Liberty state. It's not just becoming an option anymore. This is going to be a necessity. That and more right after this.
From all of the partisans at Radio Free Readout, thank you, listeners and Amron operators, for being out there. Have a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. The 51st state, Liberty State. There are a lot of myths going around, and one of them is that it's not popular. Born of ignorance and only a bunch of hicks support the move to split a state. Well, that's funny, because polls with over 10,000 responses, including KXLY, not known as a bastion of conservatism, showed an average of 74% in support. Crosscut, a socialist-leaning publication, said the movement is born of ignorance. They claim that us hicks actually do share the same values, culture, traditions, and heritage as downtown Seattle. Really? We believe the Constitution means what it says, and the Bible is the Word of God. We believe in the sanctity of life, liberty, property, and the ability to defend the same. Time and again, Seattle has rejected and repudiated those ideas. The truth is, we are already two states, and the fact they have to ridicule such a popular idea proves it. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the Community Elect Matt Shea Republic.
If you're an amateur radio operator and you believe in the American Readout movement, contact us today to find out how you can join the American Readout Radio Operators Network.
This is segment 3, brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. Strategic Landscape Design, helping you plan your property with the forethought to integrate the primary needs of water access, food supply, energy production, and the security features that are crucial to long-term viability for your retreat or your homestead, your property. So check them out today, strategiclandscapedesign.com, helping you to achieve a life of liberty. And speaking of liberty, what a great transition. Liberty, Liberty State. And what this is a movement which is growing quickly and gaining a lot of momentum. And it is the movement to separate from the very leftist, anti-American, godless, western part of the state, west of the Cascades, specifically from Bellingham down to Olympia, a little bit south of Olympia. That greater Puget Sound area, which is completely lost their minds, lost all ability to use any kind of rational thinking or logic, and it's just inherently un-American. But because there's so many of the lemmings over there with so much voting power, they make the rules, which affect those conservative, right-wing leaning conservative Americans on the east side of the mountains. It's time to draw a line right down the Cascades and form another state, because it's just becoming intolerable, these intolerable acts, and the people have had enough. This is growing momentum. So people are asking, is it really popular? Well, Representative Matt Shave has covered this along with several others. But according to an online survey by KXLY, that's a news agency out of Spokane, 73% of a group of over 8,000 participants approved of creating Liberty State. A separate poll conducted later revealed 75% of over 1,600 participants were in favor of Liberty State. So yes, it is popular, overwhelmingly. Is it constitutional? That is a great question. Can you legally do that? You can't just make your own state. Well, actually, there is a provision for it. Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution of the United States. You know that document? You heard of it before? The Constitution? I know, all of you in this listening audience, you know it well. But there's people out there that have never read it. They've never even cracked it open. They think that the First Amendment means God has to be suppressed from schools. They don't know what it means. But Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution of the United States allows for the division of a state with a simple majority vote of the legislature of the state and of Congress. This is what it says. New states may be admitted by the Congress into this union, but no new state shall be formed or erected within the jurisdiction of any state, nor any state be formed by the jurisdiction of two or more states or parts of states without the consent of the legislatures of the states concerned, as well as of Congress. So one state can't just vote to take part of another state. They all have to be able to agree on this. And if you want to learn more, we'll put the link out there. It's to constitutioncenter.org. It's an interactive constitution, and they cover this Article 4 right there for you guys to read. And does liberty have the tax base needed to make it a self-sustaining state? Well, Amazon.com is actually looking at, I think, Spokane with 50,000 jobs. My goodness. That's like more than the whole population of Kalispell or Coeur d'Alene or Moscow. That's big. That's huge. But, there are many businesses that have said, if Liberty becomes a state, we are relocating our business to Liberty because we're tired of having the life choked out of us. That's one of the things, the provisions that the framers are really working on for the model for Liberty State. But currently, Eastern Washington has close to the same number of residents as the entire state of Idaho and produces a similar amount of tax revenue. That is nothing. That is if nothing changes. That means if no other influencing factors were involved right now, that's how the numbers stand. But Liberty State will not have the same size and scope of government as Washington State. Thus, there is more than enough money. And to drive this point home, if Liberty State found just 10% savings in the size and scope of the government, it could easily operate without any property or income taxes. How does that sound? Isn't that amazing? That's not pie in the sky theoretical. That's solid people numbers. And what that is responsible government as opposed to bloated government. But already the left, they're calling it separatists, racists, because it's so white over there on East. That's the real reason. You guys, the labels. We're conservatives. We're God-fearing, liberty-loving conservatives. And we are opposed to communists and so-called anti-fascists, the fascists who call themselves anti-fascists, leftists, communists, statists, globalists, we don't want anything to do with it. Now, somebody says, you shouldn't be, don't get duped into labeling. You're just helping to participate with labeling, and that's how they divide us. Well, guess what? We're already divided. Somebody posted that. Where did I grabbed the my response to him was, I've heard this argument before too. I say, embrace the labels. They give you the flags, the standards to rally under, and they help define the adversary. There were redcoats and patriots. There's labels. There were Philistines and Israelites. Labels. Be sure they're properly labeled, though. Antifa is a label, but it really means anti-American communist revolutionaries, or also known as enemy. We are patriots. That's a proud label to wear. If you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, then my name's your name, too. How's that for a label? I love labels. And somebody posted this. Three rules about the social justice warriors. This is from Fox Day. Vox Day. V-O-X. Vox Day. These are three rules about the SJW, social justice warriors. And it's so true. I wanted to pass this on to you. Rule number one. We're talking about leftists, communists, revolutionaries, anti-American ilk. Rule number one, they always lie. Number two, they always double down on the lie. And number three, they always project. So when you want, they accuse you of things that they're doing, like hate and intolerance and everything else. They project that onto you, but they're the ones that are in fact actually doing those things. That's called projection. Isn't that interesting? All right, segment four, when we come back, and we're going to talk about some of the potential threats that we could face and some things that we should be thinking about doing to be prepared to respond with the Islamic extremists, or should I say the devout Muslims, and their anger over this embassy move in Israel. They want to hurt people now. They want to hurt Israelites, and they want to hurt Americans. Well, that's going to be a reality. And the world is changing all the time, so we adapt to it, right? We'll talk about that when we come back. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Every day, I sell homes and land to bankers, doctors, economists, scientists, military folks, and more for good reason. They all know what's coming and want to secure safety and peace for their family. They've done the research and discovered that North Idaho's superior environment, food and security surrounded by more like-minded patriots than anywhere in America. At www.revrealty.us, you can read stories about North Idaho's weather, spring development, growing food, solar, and alternative energy. Additionally, every article has a beautiful quote from the brilliant mind of Thomas Jefferson. We also give you free access to our listings, so feel free to browse our inventory or fill out our short form, and we'll do the searching for you. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us. And God bless you.
We're back with segment four at Radio Free Redoubt here in the free zones in the heart of the American Redoubt at an undisclosed location. We are in Studio C tonight. Very exciting. And, this segment is brought to you by Works Holsters, W-E-R-K-Z, Works LLC. They build custom made holsters right here in the American Redoubt, and they have a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Check them out at www.works.com. Okay, here's some of the headlines. Middle East tensions simmer in the wake of U.S. shift in Israel policy. Texas imam calls for Israel's destruction in Arabic. Jerusalem declaration sparks talk of a third temple. Now, we already know their plans are fully ready to go to rebuild the temple. And that is prophetic. And this step toward recognizing Jerusalem as the capital from an official standpoint could provide the impetus for that to actually move forward, for them to begin building the temple. All of the accrements are ready to go. It is ready. All they got to do is start breaking ground. And they're very close to that. Now, how close? I don't know. A year? 3 years? 10 years? 5 years? I don't know, but we're getting closer. And this step right here, declaration sparks the talk of a third temple, rebuilding the temple now for the third time. That is a huge thing for Christians and for prophecy. Huge. But I want to say this. It's going to come with a price, and it's going to be tragic, but it's also necessary. It just comes with the territory. And that is to be prepared for backlash from the Muslim community. I believe there will be increased terrorist attacks of all sorts. Most of them will be low tech. And we need to start thinking differently and anticipate this. I believe we will start seeing acid attacks like the United Kingdom has endured for quite a while. These vehicle attacks, plowing into crowds. We'll start seeing more of that. But there's some things that you just cannot protect against. I mean, they're just going to happen. And acid attacks are one of them. Knife attacks. Someone just goes through a mall, just stabbing. And people don't know they're being stabbed. It feels like you're just getting, somebody just punched you in the kidneys. And you're just like, whoa, what the heck, man? What'd I do to you? And then you look down, you realize there's a puddle of blood. And by the time everyone realizes what just happened, there's just 20 people all been stabbed and people start falling out. Well, there's another thing that we have not really had to confront in this country, and that's acid attacks. Actually, Wikipedia has some good information on it. It's called acid throwing. Acid throwing, also called an acid attack. A vitriol attack, or vitriolage, is a form of violent assault defined as the act of throwing acid or similarly corrosive substance onto the body of another with intention to disfigure, maim, torture, or kill. Perpetrators of these attacks throw corrosive liquids at their victims, usually at their faces, burning them and damaging skin tissue, often exposing and sometimes dissolving even the bones. This is a very serious thing. If you guys haven't studied this, if you've been living under a rock and you're just not even, never really considered or even heard of this, I want to urge you to see how real this is and how common it is in many places around the world. We've been largely exempt from this. Now, the most common types of acid used in these attacks are sulfuric and nitric acid. Hydrochloric acid is sometimes used, but is much less damaging. Aqueous solutions of strongly alkaline materials, such as caustic soda, are used as well, particularly in areas where strong acids are controlled substances. So, what does that mean to you guys? Well, there's a chemical resistance chart. Let's say you're in a mall, and some guy has a squirt bottle, a water bottle, type of container, and he just starts running through crowds of people, squirting them in the face with some type of liquid. And people are screaming and they're falling out and they're holding their faces and they're trying to rub it off and they're rubbing it all over them. What do you do? The mountain gorilla, John Mosby, he was talking about something that I just had reincorporated into my overall planning, but not traveling with a really good, adequate first aid kit. And what to put in that first aid kit. And I think that as we see these types of attacks, they're going to increase. And there you are standing there looking at some woman with her face melting. And what do you do about it? Well, first thing you want to do is try to, tend to them and secure their hands to keep them from rubbing it further. Rubbing their eyes. And because now they got it on their hands. And this acid is gnarly stuff. It will eat you down to the bone so fast. And the pictures of people that have been hit with acid attacks, just unbelievable. Well, you want to protect yourself, of course. And you might want to keep somebody from running around, spreading it and flailing around. You've got children involved. It could be a very chaotic scene. You need to protect yourself. And there are several different types of latex, vinyl, and nitrile gloves that all fare differently in various different types of attacks when you're responding. For example, with nitric acid, latex gloves are good, vinyl are fair, and nitrile are fair. Then there's sulfuric acid. Well, latex, where they would do good with nitric acid, do poor with sulfuric acid. And so do nitrile gloves. They do very poor. But vinyl gloves do good. But there's other things where vinyl gloves don't do so well and latex might do better. So what I'm doing is I'm reevaluating my kit for protection, especially for my hands, is getting a set of each. You can put on three pairs of gloves, one on top of the other. Especially if you know you're going into a crowd where people are rolling around and they're dealing with, acid attacks, and you got to put hands on people to protect your skin. The other thing too that I always carry with me is a water bottle. One of the best ways that you can counter an acid attack is to quickly as you can, dilute it. Dilute the acid. It removes the potency and it helps flush it off their skin. As soon as you add water, it immediately begins reducing the effectiveness of acid, and it dilutes it, and it dilutes its potency. So I think I'm going to write up an article on this, and I'm going to also, I'm not a subject matter expert in this, but there are people out there that are, and I'm going to track some down, make some good interviews to talk about what can we do in these type of situations where we see an increased number of attacks in the public places where you happen to be, church or the store or your school, wherever you happen to be, where you're shopping. Of course, the terrorists, they love explosives, and there's a number of different ways that you can make explosives out of common materials. So here's something else, too, that people do not normally consider when it comes to explosions. And, of course, there's traumatic amputations and other traumatic wounds, but burns. There's always burns, and that's something that most people do not incorporate into their first aid kit that you carry in your car, even in your little backpack, but some type of burn treatment, burn blankets and burn cloths that have, the pre-soaked gel for quickly stopping the burning post-event after especially an explosion. Lots of burns in those. And so that's something else we need to add to our kits is burn treatment. Not just a little package, you'll tear off the end, a little gel, you squeeze, and that's what you put on your kid when they touch the stove, right? We're talking big time gel here. Everybody should have an IFAC, a basic individual first aid kit for your basic minor to moderate injuries. And that's something you should have, within reach all the time. They're small, they're compact, they're not hard to have with you. And they've got some really good ones at Prepper Recon and Amp 3, great IFACs. Everybody should, at the very least, have an IFAC with them, individual first aid kit. And then something else that we need to think about is upping our trauma kits. Amp 3 has some really great ones. I've got the Range Medic, And it's very heavily geared toward treating gunshot wounds. It's got, and this is what you need to do, is increase those capabilities for blood clotting agents, with the, you know, blood stoppers and, you know, basically your bleed out kits with C-Lox and Quick Clot. Also, there's a few things here you need to have in your trauma kit, your bleed out kit. C-Lox or Quick Clot, that's your clotting agent. Then you need to have tourniquets, plural, and Israeli bandages, plural, as many as you can. And then, of course, your gloves to protect yourself from biohazards. So I think these would be some good articles for us to post over at Readout, Radio Free Readout, and also get some subject matter experts to talk about some of these things. Chances are, as we see these attacks increase, some of the ramifications, this hornet's nest that's getting stirred up, we need to be able to think about treating others that are injured around us. And this is a lifestyle for many people around the world we've been insulated from. And I think that window is closing. So we need to be able to be prepared to help others around us that are in need and that are injured. And there's just some people out there that want to injure innocent people, men, women, and children, simply because of policies of your government. So it's the right thing to do, right? Okay, guys, I'm going to wrap this up. You have a blessed, blessed week. And don't forget to tune in next weekend. And we've got some numbers that are going to be read right here at RadioFreeRedoubt.com, 8 p.m. Central. Oh, my goodness, Central? No, we're not. Studio C is not in the Central time zone. We will be in the Pacific time zone. We should be in the Pacific time zone, but it doesn't matter because we got portable streaming capabilities now. We could broadcast from anywhere, and we do. Okay, that's it, guys. You have a blessed week. This is Radio Free Redoubt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name, too. Good night.